96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
That's why I got girls texting me high, woman calling me pie. If my girlfriend leave me, I ain't cry. She done me red gum in my eyes and the blood pressure sky high. God want me to live, she want me to die. When I call her on the phone, she ain't ever home. I wonder why this woman so like to roam. The only time she see me is when her other friends are made free. Oh God, please have mercy.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I would say good morning to Stelit. Thank you for putting that word out there. I don't know if you all noticed yet, but all this week and next week in the month of March, I'm going to be playing songs that speak to the human condition and the relationships between men and women in the country for the month of March, which is deemed, Women's Month. International Women's Day is on March 8th, which is quickly approaching. I like that song, right? Stelit say, man, these women, them trying to make us sad, but we gotta be mature, practice emotional intelligence, and don't cause this temporary hurt. Or don't allow this temporary hurt to cause us to do something that we didn't want to do. Good morning and welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green on this Wednesday, the 2nd of March, 2022. On the Clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the Clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. And I'm hoping to have those conversations with you this morning. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Or you could call us at 323-6232. Or 325-4316, or 325-4259. Remember, we're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. And you can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or on Flow, channel 612. Or you could download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. Also, you can watch this show on Facebook if you go to the Facebook account, Erin OTC Green. You can also text the show on air or off air on our new WhatsApp number. That is 1-242-428-0719. And if you go to the On the Clock Facebook account or Facebook page, you can find a link to join the On the Clock WhatsApp group where you can share the latest news stories or tips you think the Bahamian public need to hear. So it's part two of On This Week in the Bahamas, where we're going through the headlines, stories that I think are important for people to hear. I want to ask you in particular, what are you giving up for Lent? Today is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the Lenten season. I think that's a great conversation to have because people need encouragement and support in this process, in this season. I think that's a good thing. So call and text and tell me, what are you giving up for Lent? We'll talk about the swimming pigs in Adelaide. What a discussion. What a discussion. When the Spot improv comedy troupe put on a skit about the swimming pigs almost 5 years ago now, we knew it was going to be a big issue like this. Like we knew a big issue would arise eventually. That's why we did the skit 5 years ago, where we realized that some hogs in Andrus was trying to take over the Exuma swimming pig industry. And so they came to Justice Gardens to get some help from the Justice Gardens swimming pigs to figure out how to do the swimming pig thing properly. And so the Justice Gardens swimming pigs was able to get the Andrus hogs on track so they could open up their own tourist excursion in Andrus. It was a good time. It was a good time. 5 whole years ago, I thought we would have already put in place protocols to govern this niche market, this niche space within the tourism and recreational activity industry. But we haven't yet. We'll talk about the potentially $40 million extension at Her Majesty's prison. And why, despite the fact that every other day I come on the radio and talk about the need to address the housing crisis, did we actually have to seriously consider this petition by the Minister of National Security? There are tons of other stories that we got to talk about. The Shaggy concert at Resorts World Bimini was canceled, but why? Really like to know why. Was Shaggy standing in solidarity with the vast majority of Bahamians who would not be able to, could not afford to, participate in an event like that? Is that why Shaggy did not get up on the stage? Also, BPL announces price hike, then withdraws statement. I think we could talk about that for a second. That's a very, very important story. Here's some what's in the news. I saw a note on Facebook yesterday saying that the South Beach Library is open now for sit-down computer use at a cost of $1 every half hour, and it would be open between 9 a.m. and 4:45 p.m. I imagine that's weekdays. I hope it's every day, 7 days a week. And I think there is no fee for reading or Wi-Fi use in the library. That is a good thing. If this is true, South Beach Library, please put out a public notice so the people will know. On that note, I got another very important public service announcement. Catching sharks is illegal. And videoing yourself or others catching sharks is stupid. Now, we know that living in Nassau is not like living in the Family Islands. And I imagine that Family Islanders have a greater incidence or like rate of interaction with sharks. Like, it's very rare that I go to Montague Beach and take a dip and there's a shark sitting next to me in the water chilling. But Family Islanders, they interact with sharks a whole lot more. Fishermen, of course, interact with sharks a whole lot more than we do. And we understand why a fisherman or a crew of fishermen may have to kill a shark that is menacing them or attempting to bite somebody as they're fishing. They can't get out of the water fast enough. Because we, you know, fishermen measure themselves. They know the sharks live there. They take a pause and they say, boss, you really telling me to leave? Okay then. But just in case you didn't know, it's illegal to catch sharks. And it's equally illegal and stupid to film yourself doing it because you can be tracked and traced. I hope that if the shark was killed and not released, that at the very least you didn't waste anything from it. Because that's even more heinous, is to just kill for sport. That's even more heinous. I got a couple of texts here. Great show as usual, Miss Green. That's a wonderful joke. Great show. If a mango break your heart, that temporary hurt could last anywhere between 18 months to 8 years. That's longer than being in opposition. Yeah, man, that first of all, 18 months to 8 years is not a temporary hurt. That's a permanent hurt. But that's okay. That is okay. There are relationships with people that will impact us for our entire lives. And those relationships don't have to be romantic or sexual to have that great impact on our lives. But you see, because we keep promoting that, right? Then we're denying men and women of their full adult, right? Like their full adult experience, because we're telling them that they can't. There's something wrong with them having a profound love for or a profound connection with someone, right? Because those types of connections are only supposed to be sexual. When we know that there are brothers and women out here who have relationships and friendships that are platonic, they like brother or fraternal or paternal, they like brother and sister and family, that have been not just profound, but have driven the country forward, have caused men to moderate their behavior and measure themselves and their words for the sake of their common goal. Right? So you're right. You're right, that hate could last a long time, and there's nothing wrong with that. Right? When we lose a loved one, grief stays with us forever, doesn't disappear. We just build ourselves up to manage it better. Another texter says, I usually give up cussing for Lent. So bad Nassau drivers, don't cause me break my Lenten vow. Oh, that's a very interesting text. You know, I hadn't really planned, but that's a great show as usual. The USA plan on seizing the Russian boats, cars, hotels, and other luxury vehicles they have, and they plan on doing that worldwide. So Putin, wake up this morning hot. You could imagine if you wake up and you find out the government sees your Honda Accord. Well, that's how Putin felt this morning times 10. Let me tell you how this is like relevant to the Bahamas. Well, first of all, because I'm sure there are Russian assets here, that our Bahamian government now is in this weird position where they got to negotiate with the U.S. government and they got to negotiate with Russian government. And they got to say, man, Russia, I can try hard to keep your assets safe. And they got to go to the U.S. government and say, but look here, you know that file on Russia? I can get that to you in 2 weeks. We have a meeting. But it may have disappeared. I used to keep it where I keep the Oban file. I'll be honest with you, I ain't seen the Oban file in years now. That's what the Bahamian government may have to go and tell the U.S. government, to maintain good diplomatic relations with all of the countries we live and work with. That's interesting. More relevance for the Bahamas, right? One of the things that we don't really talk about in the discussion about the transition to cashless society, transition to or in to incorporate more digital systems and digital finance, online money systems. Well, look here. You know what happens if all your money is in a bank or in a digital system? When the bank doesn't like you anymore, or better than that, they don't even have to involve feelings. When they get an order from the court saying that your funds are to be seized, they're gone. There's nothing you could do about it except go to a court and appeal that action. They're gone. Right? And in the same way, all Russian digital assets that the U.S. or whatever sanctioning bodies can get to can be seized easily. This is one of the complaints coming out of China with their digital systems, is that if you fall short or below a particular standard on the Chinese social rating system, if you've made a decision that the government is not in agreement with, that your accounts could be seized and you could find yourself once a millionaire and now a pauper. Kermit, I see we got a call on the line. Let's go to that call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Golly, David, just talking away along with you. Pretty eye, Aaron Green.
Good morning, Bremen. How are you?
I'm only saying, God. With this situation about taking people assets, let me say something. Here it is. America is our friend and our family.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to taking people assets, I don't want to compromise with anybody, okay? I'm with America. You know, America, look out for us. Like I said, they are family.
Mm-hmm.
I have tons of family over there.
Mm-hmm.
Nieces and nephews, grandnieces, nephews, great-grandnieces and nephews. And I'm not compromising with anybody for them. And I don't want government to compromise with them for me.
Okay. Wow. Boy, that's a strong point. So you're saying you don't want the Bahamian government to negotiate with the U.S. government in a way that would make life or dynamics in the U.S. more difficult for your family members that live there. You don't want the Bahamian government to do that on your behalf alone. That's altruistic and generous. I got plenty family that are American, right? I am tied to that space. In a way that many of us are tied to that space. And in a different way than all of us are tied to that space, right? There is no denying how Bahamians, how people from these islands help to build up that country, both physically and culturally and economically as well. Economically as well, too. Kermit, I see we got another caller on the line. Let's go to that caller. Good morning, caller. You are on the call.
Good morning, Aaron Green.
How you doing?
Now, what do you think of the lady that's on the news who was allegedly mistreating the handicapped person? She tell us, y'all don't believe your lying ears and eyes.
Okay, let me tell you exactly what I think. This started at the beginning. I think that what was witnessed is abusive. Let's just say that we don't want anybody acting that way towards us or towards our loved ones. Like, we felt it. You felt it in your body. Like, something, this ain't right. However, what we also have to sort of not even juxtapose but put on the table right next to that is that for many people who are having to be the main caregivers for family members that have Alzheimer's, that have dementia, right, that are in a state where they don't remember who they are or what they're supposed to be doing, right? That if you are not trained in the methods, acceptable methods to control and manage unmanageable people, then you're going to end up abusing them, right? But if you are the main caretaker for your elderly parent that has Alzheimer's or dementia, doesn't remember that they 85, doesn't remember the day in their nightgown, in their minds, they are 15, they are 21, they're big grown adults, they could take care of themselves, they sitting in that car, they don't understand why you tell them they can't get out the car. They're not in their right mind, we like to say. What we need to talk about, this is on the list, you know, this one heavy. What we need to talk about is, how did we get almost 50 years old and we have not put in any real, real systems to deal with managing, accommodating, and taking care of aging and elderly Bahamians and societies? How we get to be a big, grown, 50 years old, and we get up every morning and act like the elders around us are not getting Alzheimer's, don't require a greater level of care. And to my older Bahamians, how you think we supposed to transition so quickly into a different way of living when y'all as elders refuse to let us engage you or any subject matter in a way that would manifest or require us to manifest our authority as adults? They are older Bahamians. You've been watching the news. You've been connected to global media for decades. We have no real systems in place to take care of you when you need that care. And the way that this culture has set up, you have been socialized and are socializing us into a culture where we don't talk about it. We can't talk about anything that would anyway chip away or diminish your authority over us. So we can't even sit down with you and talk about how we're going to take care of you in your old age. Because y'all don't bend to your cradle until you fall into your grave. So that situation is a rough, rough situation all around. Because yes, I imagine that what people witnessed and what was going on was abusive, but I also know that it is likely the only resource that that person had available to them to keep that person safe. And it's not like the state cares to ensure that these services or service providers are available to the public for use at a reasonable cost. The one thing we know is certain is that people are going to get older until they die. Yet we have nothing in place. See, this is a conversation I sort of picked up while I was talking about the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian and what appears to be a disregard for death. We don't honor our ancestors. We don't honor the dead. We don't honor the elderly. Caller, sorry about that. Call back, man. Sorry about that. Call back. This has been bugging me for a minute. So, yeah, this is a rough one, but we're not going to beat up on that caretaker because we know that the resources are not readily available or accessible. Take a pause there. Caller, you're on the clock.
And also, when the HD got a reality check that the governor of Bahamas is his boss, and we as the shareholders would hold the government responsible for how BPL is run. And when Papa tells BPL to turn off all them lights, Papa's like, I'm in charge. Government Bahamas will find money for BPL. BPL cannot fail unless we fail. You know, for the last 4 years, ministers have been letting Barrister run everything. He abdicated his powers to his ministers because he don't like to be in control. He's lazy. Something like that.
Now, man, come on. You can't say that. That boy, apparently that boy doesn't deliver 8,500 babies. He ain't lazy. That ain't what it is.
He just came in the room and got paid.
No, man, but listen, I tell you, they do say that like the mother does all the hard work. But that's not the point. The point is that Millis have a stellar record. His colleagues from UWE, they just speak highly of this guy all the time. I think it's more than that. I think we do in Minnis a disservice by suggesting that he is any more horrible than the average politician. Minnis was just, I think, easily overwhelmed by the political culture. And the fact that he wasn't a lawyer or deeply rooted in legal culture and jurisprudence made it even more difficult for him to traverse governance generally, but with COVID and pandemic. I mean, it's just a problem, right? So we're not going to give him that hard of a time. But BPL, boy, that's a... BPL announces price hike, then withdraws statement. And it just one question popped into mind, particularly after the government would have indicated that I think the chairman of the party, because I don't know why Minister of Foreign Affairs would be, anyway, that's day politics. That's not our governance. I just wanted to ask this question. Is Focal also setting the prices to now? Like, are they bringing in the fuel and then they renting the equipment that generates the electricity with the fuel that they bring in? Are they also telling us how we have to sell the electricity that we generate with the machines that we rent from them, with the fuel that we buy from them? Is that what is happening? Really? We just want to know. Because this sounds and feels like Alstom, A-L-S-T-O-M 3.0. Who is responsible for making these decisions? Right? And are they made in conjunction? Right? Like, does the board just sit down by itself and make these decisions and it's just up to cabinet to approve it or not to approve it? Or through the process of decision making, is the board engaging cabinet to ensure or to make sure that they're certain about the dynamics they're negotiating around, the context of this issue that they're negotiating? Is that happening? These are questions that need to be answered. Absolutely need to be answered, because there are still Bahamians who remember growing up in fear, like me, growing up in fear that if the light bill costs the same as the mortgage now, what will we be facing in the future as adults? Got some text here. Putin does not respect international law and he dislikes openness and democracy. He is a bully. Why is Ukraine so important? What about its sovereign country? Leave it alone. We speak about these kinds of actions all the time when we have illegal entries in our country from countries larger than ours, and then they want all the benefits of you, the citizen. It's all in the same boat. We need to demand and defend, respect law and order. That's what. Okay, we only have a problem when it's Haitian migrants and brown-skinned people. That's really... Otherwise, it's potential industry. That's what it is. That's how Abaco could become like a shining star in the Bahamian economy with second home ownership, while the country's largest shanty towns just popped up all around it. Right? That's what that is. This isn't really the show for it, but I'm going to beg you to inquire further into world politics and world history, to talk about them that dislikes openness and democracy and like to invade other people's country. Got another text here. Oh, this one looks very... Nobody mentioned Haiti in the above comment, said illegals. I mentioned Haiti in the above comment, texter. I mentioned Haiti. That's the texter texting back. I mention Haiti because all of these things are relevant. They're all relevant. We don't mention them, like the story in the paper yesterday about the Caucasian man who had shot at police officers in Abaco and was granted emergency bail and has never showed up again to court. If he entered the country with that ammunition and that gun or those guns, he entered illegally too. He got emergency bail after shooting at police officers. Yes, Texter, you didn't mention Haiti. You mentioned illegal entries in our country from countries larger than us. I just want the audience to have some clarity, because I know you know we are clear. Texter says, Aaron, you are sad. A woman beat up an elderly woman. You making excuses. When a man hit a woman, you going bananas. You are just a hypocrite. Sad. You are sad. Dear Texter, it's great to see you back here again. I wasn't making up excuses. I was putting the blame where it needs to be placed. On all of us. In particular, the government and the Ministry of Social Services. Did Alzheimer's pop up yesterday right after COVID? Did dementia as a condition impacting and affecting Bahamians just suddenly appear? Like, you know how the vax conspirators say, oh, the vaccine caused that. Did a vaccine cause that high rate of dementia in our country? What I'm saying to you is that it was abuse. It is abuse. We all understand it's abuse. Let's push the conversation forward to the next important step, which is how do we ensure that elderly people and the vulnerable around us and among us do not have to suffer that again? And that is to look directly in the face of the problem and say, look here, why are untrained and unskilled people taking care of vulnerable people with very particular needs? Why aren't people in the community, stakeholders, and social services out here identifying people? We got a whole senior citizen verification process, right? At NIB, we have all kinds of systems that people are being paid to manage that would be able to help us identify people who are at risk. Go and check on them to make an assessment of whether they need more care, further care, or to be removed from that caretaking situation. We already, and I already, squarely identified the actions as abuse. But methinks that you want people to join you in beating up on women. And that's a pursuit, that's like in swimming, you know, in sports, you get individual events, and you get team events. That's an individual event, Texter. Got another text here that says, question, how could people put their parents in an old folks' home? People are cold as ice. And see, Texter, I'm glad you said that. I want to say to you, maybe we can use a little bit more empathy when we engage these subject matters, right? But one reason you would put your older, your senior, your geriatric family member in a care facility is that you know that you do not have the skills, resources, or time available to give that person the care that they need. Stick a pin. If you're going to say, but you know this, places in the Bahamas, they're not up to standard, they're not adequate. What are you doing about it? What are we going to do to ensure that the elderly and the vulnerable can live up according to basic standards of decency? I could be honest with you all, I'm scared to get old. I already made my plans. I didn't tell Reginald Raccoon in the bush next to me, I'm coming to die in the bush. Because in case you didn't notice it, I need you to know that the young people have noticed it. We don't care about the vulnerable. Or worse yet, we don't have the wherewithal, the capacity to care. Because we already traumatized by all that we have been left to go through on our own. Come here, let's go to this caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, morning, Aaron. What's up, sis?
Everything's good. How you doing?
I am great, man. I ain't talked to you for a little while. What a week, 2 weeks.
Yeah, man.
But I am great, and I hope all is well with everyone in our country. But, Aaron, I want to ask, not really ask, but I want to allude to something that is in the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman who was released from Sandlin, who was incarcerated. You can say incarcerated because his freedom was taken away. So.
Yeah.
All right, and I use the word incarcerated in a good way. His freedom was taken away for all of those years. And what really got my attention is that the person who, I guess, you know, give the assessment or what he's about to encounter as far as he has to take his medication. But my biggest concern about that is you take a man off the streets for 30 years, Ms. Green, and you put him in a mental institution. Automatically, from you put that man in that mental institution, he's going to be on medication or different things. So how is it that someone who is considered to be institutionalized to Sandlin come back in society after 30-something years? Because as I understand, the crime that he went for he didn't even do it. So that already there, that put a mental effect on his mind from 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you expect for him to come back out and to function in society as a normal person? But let me tell you the flip side of that, sis, is that when you sit and you hear, God forbid, that a person like him do something that is abnormal and it hits, you know, I wouldn't want it to happen. It's just a hypothetical example. Mm-hmm. And it hits the airwaves, then you hear persons like speaking out, this Santa should have did it. This one should have done that. This one should have done that. It's like you send the man, I'm sending Aaron out in the boat with 1 gallon of gas, and I'm trying to tell her to go to, I can use a far, 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 far island, to Inagua.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Ms. Green, these people, sometimes, to me personally, when it comes to the mental challenge persons in this country, I don't think personally sometimes the persons who got the mental disorder is the problem, you know.
Right, it's a society.
It's society.
Yeah.
Because you have a gentleman who frequents on JFK by the shopping center,
mm-hmm.
you know, and one night I was there, this was cold, cold night, you know, and I was there, and every time you see him, he always putting his hand out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm agreeing that the gentleman was standing up. I call him a gentleman because he's still a human being.
Yeah.
He was standing up, shimmering, and it cold, and people walking out of a certain ice cream place, certain stores, drug stores, and just looking at him. So, Ms. Green, I do it for no props or no likes, but I had a brand new hoodie, gray jacket.
Yeah.
And I was contemplating, and I said, but guess what? Should I give this to this fella? Because my lady bought it for me.
Yeah.
I gave it to him because I said to myself, I know if I go home, I can get another jacket. So I said that to say this. A lot of people in this country needs to be educated with persons on the road with mental disorder or whatever. It's because right to the Guardian, you got one lady who lays there on the side of the around the boat, and you know people pass and say, "Oh, you crazy,"
mm-hmm.
but
she's not.
We don't know. We don't know where we can. And I always say something there, and I tell people, you can't down people because we don't know where we can end up. We don't know where our family can end up. Where do we end up in a mental state? We don't know these things. So you got to be very, very careful of how you treat people. Yeah, sometimes, you know, them people, they, give me this, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
rough.
They rough.
Yeah.
But they have a problem.
Absolutely. And I think for many of them, they're trying to be visible. They're trying to be seen. Thank you, producer. We're going to go to a break. Thank you, DeWitt, very much. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. When we get back, we're going to get through all of these texts. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We're just at the end of the show. So what's in the news? Wednesday. It's going back through some of the stories that we didn't touch on last week. I got a text here that says, I think Minnis' problem was he was from Baintown and he carried that Baintown attitude straight to government. Right, like straight to government. He's supposed to pause somewhere in between there and get a little more education on politics and governance in the archipelago called the Bahamas. And then he could take that and the Baintown attitude to the House of Parliament. But I think a part of Minnis's shortcomings is that he also didn't understand the political culture that he was operating within and didn't take time to understand it because he's not a part of that realm and didn't see it as important. He didn't see it for what it was, or nor could he identify the sort of space it occupied in governance in this country. I got another text here. I promise you all I was going to read all of them. This one is a bit of a hot one. Hey, Aaron, I didn't hear you tell people not to beat up the man who rolled over the woman with the car. So we are you defending elderly abuse over the radio? I take grave offense to this. I don't think anybody heard me defending elderly abuse over the radio. I think because you didn't hear me beating up the woman who abused elderly woman, that I am not opposed to that behavior. But that's because y'all think that beating up people is like a solution or an appropriate response to problems. That's all. Because beating up is justified, just you can't beat this person up. That's what's inappropriate. I'm not going to beat up that woman. Because there are people who are getting paid right now who know that there's a massive gap in the work that they do and the Social Security net. And what's falling through that gap are elderly people who are vulnerable due to their health or, you know, their psychological health or their physical health. Alzheimer's didn't just pop up yesterday. But until we are prepared to have the intergenerational conversations, right? Until we are prepared as older Bahamians to respect sufficiently younger Bahamians to let us engage you about what we will have to do for you in the future. Until then, you know, we just got a whole bunch of people that really, at the end of the day, all they want is open up the Coliseum doors and let's just be violent and beat up each other. Texter goes on to say, stop defending women who abuse others. If you want to defend women that defend men in the same way, don't be one-sided. I think you miss a lot of my shows. I have another text here that says, it's irrelevant whether the people of Ukraine are white or black. The fact is, Putin is wrong to invade a sovereign nation. Wrong is wrong, and two or three or four wrongs don't make it right. Dear text, I think you entirely missed the ways, what I pointed out, the ways in which those situations are relevant to or similar to what we're dealing with in the Bahamas. There is a race issue in Ukraine that has been exacerbated, exposed, and highlighted by this particular crisis. We don't have to argue about that because it's nothing to argue about. I got another text here, Ms. Green. Car cut the red light, Prince Charles and Burger King, and it was a taxi. Thank you. I'm not going to call a taxi plate number right now. I can tell you why. The taxi union, they're not in upheaval, but they're in this shifting and this changing process. And I'm going to give it a moment to see what systems come out of this revamped union to moderate the behavior of their own members and other taxi drivers, even if they are not members of the union. Ah, my. Dear Ministry of Social Services, you see, people won't see the link between this story and the story a year plus ago where we saw leaked footage of children being physically abused at one of the local children's homes. But there is a link. And in both instances, us, the general public, and you, those with a specific duty of care, a special duty of care, a professional duty of care, we all know that these things have been happening repeatedly, over and over again, all throughout New Providence and the Family Islands. And so to that texter, I'll ask you a similar question. Why do you only want to talk about it when it makes you uncomfortable, when it's forced in your face, even though you know it exists all the time? But look here, I ain't trying to alienate anybody. Let me pull that back a little bit. I ain't trying to alienate anybody. I got another text here. I can read this one. Aaron, Whitney Hasty got a reality check. The Bannister. I read in your text just how you sent it. We're running BPL wrong. Said he called Brave for instructions on what to do. The cabinet of the Bahamas is his boss and every big decision got to go to them. Aaron, do think Moxie Big Wazala deal, the cabinet sign off on it. Them deals come with a 5 or 10% finder's fee. That's big money. Boy, look here. I ready to give anybody a finder's fee who could find me the file on the investigation into the fire and who is the person that signed off to turning on the generator that I think the reports say caused the fire. I only think that because I haven't seen the report, even though the report technically belongs to the Bahamian people. Now, they can come and tell me some foolishness like, well, you know, technically, BEC, the institute that was BEC is now different. There's a BPL, which is the managing body, and that's separate from BEC and the government. And then there's BEC, the body that is generate the power, and that have to do with government. So technically, maybe BPL doesn't owe me anything. I don't believe that. I rebuke that. And I will give a finder's fee to anybody who could tell me with documentation I could use to tell other people who the person was who said it was okay to turn on the generator, and then when they turned on the generator, it wasn't okay to turn on the generator, and we had a big fire. I'll pay a finder's fee for that. Imagine. Boy, folk all. I just want to know. Are you setting the prices too? Because everybody thought that the decisions had to go through cabinet before they were released. Everybody thought that. Everybody, including cabinet. Everybody. There are other stories, you know, and this is the perfect time to talk about them because I don't know if we can ever actually get right into them. So, the Minister of National Security says that we need an extension to Her Majesty's prison and it may cost us $40 million. And I agree with people who got up and said, well, what about education? What about the hospital, healthcare, Family Island clinics, improving Family Island travel? So all Bahamians could have equal and equitable access to the things that are available. But guess what? This is going to be an interesting discussion because the truth is the prison been needing an upgrade. The prison is not just outdated, but I imagine every single prisoner that has been in there has the grounds to sue the government for being subjected to cruel and inhumane conditions, according to the laws of the Bahamas. And this may be one instance where I may have to say, you know what? As much as we get things to spend the money on, we have a duty of care and a moral obligation to expand the prison compound. That is a very important thing. There are other things to talk about as well that we didn't get to. The people them on the Crown Land clarinet. People on the Crown Land clarinet. What a vibe. What a time. Anyway, I am all out of time. Thank you for joining me today. I got one boy texter that came in right at the line. Hi, are they trying to sell our things in front of our face in China? You get the death penalty for that. Well, I don't think that's true in China. That's my music. I got to go. It's the 11 o'clock hour. That means Guardian Radio, AM. I think this morning we're going to get Quincy Parker on the radio. Yesterday we had Cecil Newry. Doesn't matter. Your job is to stay tuned and enjoy the fresh news, smart talk all day. Because this is 96.9 FM. And you've been on the clock with Aaron Green. See you tomorrow.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.